Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen. I'm a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center and I'm your host for the update this afternoon. I'm honored to be joined by Sherry from San Francisco, who is the author of quite a special little new ebook. Welcome, Sherry. Are you there, Sherry? Michael, I wonder if you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
You can. I see
Sherry there, but I don't hear her.
But we don't hear her. Huh. Okay. So she is on the line, as far as we know.
As far as I can tell. Sherry, are you there?
Huh.
Let me try muting her and then bringing her back.
Okay.
Okay, I've unmuted her again.
Okay. Can you hear us, Sherry? Oh, how very odd.
I wonder if she can hear us and not, and we can't hear her.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's something like that.
Maybe she can call back in if she's hearing us.
Uh-huh. Same call-in number, do you think, Michael?
Yes. Yes, okay. I would think so.
Okay. Funny, I was going to say that I have the book in front of me and the email that she wrote to us about it, and I was going to start to talk about it and realize, oh no, I'll let her talk about it, but maybe I will talk about it.
Sure.
Well, we're waiting for her to get back on the line. I think you've seen it, Michael, too, haven't you?
I have.
It's an e-book, so it's not in printed form. As far as I know, which is actually quite fun to think about these days, that you could have a book that's just simply online, never have to have any paper involved at all. And it's, I believe the title of it is Present Perfect.
Yes.
And it's a collection of things that Sherry has brought together of alternative ways of giving. And it's just, there's just something very, very fun and special about it. So I hope we'll get her on the line just now to tell us about it. Do you see her logged out at this point, Michael?
Oh, I see her still there and live.
Okay.
Sherry, are you there? Modern technology, please help.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you know, I just really don't want to give it away when she's not here to kind of talk about it. So,
yes.
You know, if it really doesn't work, we could have her on next week to talk about it. But I thought, are
Sherry?
We hearing her?
Are you there, Sherry?
Oh, that's an echo of me, isn't it?
Hello?
Sherry?
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 That was definitely her, though, wasn't
that
it?
That was definitely her, and the line just dropped.
Did it?
Her line
dropped. Maybe she's got a bad signal somewhere. Okay. All right. Well, we'll give her a chance to call back in. In the meantime, Michael,
yes.
Perhaps we could talk about some of the upcoming events. What have we got on the docket?
Sure. Yes. Sherry will be at Open Circle Bookstore in Berkeley.
And that would be Sherry Huber.
That would be Sherry Huber. Open Circle Bookstore in Berkeley, California, on the evening of March 20th.
March 20th, okay. And is that a sign-up kind of a thing, or is it just walk-in?
I don't have that information in front of me right
okay.
here.
I could start looking it up while we're talking.
Good also. And I don't actually know which day of the week that is either.
Okay, I can find that out. So that's March 20th, you said?
That's March 20th.
Okay.
And then Saturday and Sunday, February 19th and 20th, Sherry will be part of the Being and Becoming virtual retreat with Andrew Cohen. And this is accessible by phone and over the internet worldwide.
Which is really exciting to...
Yes.
It sounds like, I was reading a little bit about it, it sounds like it's going to be a really interesting dialogue. And the thing that I'm excited about is that... that they've asked Sherry to be a part of it, and so she'll get to be a voice on that. It just seems like the work that that Sherry's offering to all of us right now is so powerful and so kind of tends to be, I think, a missing piece in some of the other things that folks do. So it's exciting that, the work that she's doing currently will be part of that dialogue.
Yes, yes. And by that, you mean the recording and listening work?
Yeah, the recording and listening work and just the power of the mentoring that's in that and how it's just so, it's such a perfect modern day expression of Buddhism, of what the Buddha taught, that we each have within us what we need to awaken. I mean, in a sense, you can say we're already awake, and that the what we're doing is we're getting present to that. We're realizing that for ourselves, and it feels like this recording practice is having a profound effect. I know for me, and I'm hearing it from other people, on our ability to really do that, to really get present to the wisdom and love and compassion that's inside of each of us. There's nothing we need to go out there to get or to try to do or to become, but it's actually just becoming present to what's already all the time been there for us internally.
Yes, yes. Reminds me of that quote, I don't know where it's from, of realizing our inherent enlightenment.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I know for myself to have that knowledge that it's possible to awaken, that it's possible to end suffering, without a way to do that can be a huge source of suffering.
Yes. Yeah.
So I just, anyway, that's why I feel like it's exciting that Sherry gets to be part of a big dialogue like that that could potentially be reaching a lot of people who might not always hear that perspective.
Yes. And following up on your comments, to have a way that shows us so clearly how to do that process of ending suffering, you know, it's a great relief.
It really is. And it's exciting. I was actually just today, we are starting a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat in Carmel tomorrow. And so we were driving down here, and as we were driving, I was listening to the recorded version of What You Practice, of the new book.
Yes.
And in that, Sherry talks about the power of the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work, and then this being the sequel to that. And it feels like, there are these two powerful tools where recently someone contacted us and said, hey, I'm really interested in both of those retreats, the There Is Nothing Wrong With You and the What You Practice retreat. I haven't done any retreats with you yet. Which retreat should I do first? And we all sort of thought, well, that's a great question. Realizing that there isn't necessarily an order in which they need to be done, but they're both really important pieces. So there's the There's Nothing Wrong With You work of, getting in touch with the unconditional self-acceptance that's available to us. And then with the What You Practice work, it builds on that and allows us to kind of really almost take it apart and see how it all works and how is this suffering machine happening. Because the There's Nothing Wrong With Your work by itself, I think, isn't the whole piece. Then there's the piece of, okay, got it. There is nothing wrong with me. Now, how am I going to keep that reality alive in my day-to-day life?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's a powerful combination.
It is. It really is. Yep.
And I do see Sherry Bowell back in our queue here.
Do you? Are you here, Sherry?
Let me bring her.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hallelujah.
Hello. I was there all along, but you just couldn't hear me.
Oh, and you were probably just saying fabulous, amazing things the whole time.
You know, that was the best practice opportunity I have had in a long time.
I bet. Well, can we do this, Sherry? Can we take a rain check? Because I don't want to, this is such a fabulous little book that you've written, and I don't want to squeeze it into a minute interview. What do you think?
I would love that. I'm grateful that I had just the chance just to say, I'm here. I've been here.
That's it, isn't it? Just the chance to say, I'm here.
isn't it great? But I loved it. The whole time I had a chance to do reassurances, and it was beautiful.
Excellent. Well,
I would love to take a rain check.
Good, because I really do want to. It's a fabulous book, and I really do, I want to tell people about it. And, I mean, in the meantime, we won't keep it a secret. If they want to look it up, where would they go to look it up?
Oh, well, they can go to simplycelebrate.net. Okay. And on the homepage, I put a little thing there for open air listeners to click on, and they can do that. And there's a free download. And I'm so excited to talk to you, though, because I've managed to connect this all to the audio mentoring program.
Oh, I know. And Michael told me today a little snippet of something, and I just couldn't. I'm right there, but let's not give it away. We'll talk
all
about
right, so
it.
Good.
Hopefully next week. We'll get in touch and see if that works.
Okay, great. Listen, nice to talk to you for a few moments.
Yeah, you too. Take care, Sherry. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And so, Michael, I see we're at that time, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so have an excellent show. It's nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Michael. I'm here.
Great. Glad to hear you.
That was wonderful. That's the best practice opportunity I've had in a long time. I can just picture they're going, but I'm here.
You just
can't hear me. I'm here.
Yes.
Oh, my. And the other thing that I love about our practice is, okay, it was all planned out, and it didn't go that way.
Yes.
And so here we are. So what shall we, how can we take advantage of this opportunity to enjoy practicing together, which you and Jen just did beautifully. So that was fun.
Yes, it is fun to be thrust into the moment like that.
Yes. And, of course, we're always in the moment like that. But when we have a plan and it works, It's just not so obvious to us that we're that it's all impromptu and we're always winging it.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you having your best year yet?
I am having my best year yet. Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. That was a great workshop, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
You know, We're trying to get everybody to put the Bridge Walk on their calendar right now because it's the 10th annual Bridge Walk. We want it to be absolutely huge. We're hoping Sangha will come from all over the world. And the other thing that people can put on their calendars right now is Best Year Yet next year. And I don't know the exact date, but it's going to be somewhere in the first part of January. And just mark that somewhere. You want to watch for that and sign up as soon as it's announced because it is a good time and a great way. It's a great Sangha event, and it's a wonderful way to start a year.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we've got the whole thing covered, don't we, Michael? You go to Santa Sabina, and you end the year before, and you set your intention, your practice, get your practice momentum going for the new year. And then you go to the Best Year Yet workshop and you lay out your whole plan, your intentions for how that year is going to be. And then we just go along having those things come up on our calendar and staying with Sangha and deepening our practice and ending suffering. And life is good.
Life is good. Life is good indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's good is that we have a lot of wonderful people here who'd like to talk with you.
Good. Let's talk with them.
Let's talk with them. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Valerie from Minnesota.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good since I plugged the flash drive with the three talks and the what you practice is what you have into my computer and listened to it today.
And woohoo!
Yeah, I've had a great time and I have had a lot of great insights, but my cave is so fortified with practice reminders that I really can't really look anywhere without seeing something.
Without something to wake you up, huh? Now, are you kind of a disciple of Awareness Junkie Man? Is that what you've got going?
Yeah, that I have his posters up definitely, and I have had some great creative ideas come up through the email process, and just the idea of recording my own voice is, you know, the fear of it has gone away. Like, listening to my own voice is no longer a problem.
Say that again.
It's just technology breaking down. That's the problem.
Yes, yes. It's no longer us breaking down. It's technology, and that's kind of refreshing, isn't it? Yeah. I was just talking with someone who said who basically was making the same point that in fact she's gone from a dread of hearing her own voice to really loving the sound of her own voice. That the sound of her own voice now means unconditional love, acceptance, kindness, and so it's really great to hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I had read the book a couple times, but listening to it for the first time today, you made the point of the unworthiness, that people aren't willing to do the work if they're feeling the unworthiness or something like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, you know. It's like, yeah, I have made lots of creative effort towards getting myself into the light room, and yet if I do fall prey to thoughts of unworthiness, it can go bad really quickly. It can go bad so quickly that I'm not worthy to listen to my own voice telling me, you know, telling me all this wonderful information.
Yeah. Yeah. And catching on to that is powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Again, in another conversation, people are just, I'm getting a lot of information that says this new practice is really working for people. And the idea that those messages of unworthiness for most conditioned people, at least everybody I've ever known, they're pretty nonstop. They come in different forms, but they all kind of point to the same thing. You know, there's something wrong with you. Life hasn't been working. It's not going to work, and basically it's your fault. And then that information is transmitted through all different kinds of messages. And with the recording, being able to identify what those messages are and have the mentor give different, true, accurate information. To have the information of worthiness, of goodness, of kindness, of unconditional love, that sort of thing, coming up nonstop is hugely transformative, much more so than I would have actually guessed when I first started doing this work. But it's that hearing over and over and over that you're fine, that it's okay, that you can do it, that you are a good person and you're not alone, and you have help and support, and you're on the right track. To have those messages replace those hateful messages just very, very quickly can take us from suffering to well-being, in the same way the voices were able to take us from well-being to suffering with a few well-placed sentences.
Yeah. And I found myself really turning towards the fear book, which I haven't turned towards in a long time, and
mm-hmm.
feeling as though I really could be the hunter, and
yes.
you know, it could be the hunted, you know, like
yes.
that could actually be a possibility for me. And
yes.
part of it is, you know, like, I think in the book you talk about right understanding, kind of, in that book. So, I mean, probably in every book and everything, but what stood out to me in the fear book was kind of pointing at right understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw when you were talking about that, sort of, well, I mean, you could do it in a toned-down way or kind of an outrageous way, you know, to have hunting gear so that, a lot of hunters wear camouflage outfits, and that might not be your style, but to have a power courage color that you put on, and to have certain weapons that you carry with you as reminders of the power that you have to vanquish fear and self-hatred. And, of course, they could be, you know, your regular practice tools. Like, as you said, you know, everywhere you look, there's something to remind you to come to. So those can be your arsenal. And you get up every day and you check your tools and you check your weapons and you put on your hunting gear and you go off in pursuit of the prey. And just that shift in attitude of mind, it is freedom. Whatever you do after you've made that shift is just extra blessings, because you've already accomplished everything that you hope to accomplish.
Yeah, I think that getting silly and, you know, thinking of costumes and I think that kind of thing takes a lot of the pressure off.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah, never let it be serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never let those things make you serious. Because when they make you serious, you're taking them seriously, and that's a big loss. I picture you, you know, stalking around the house, calling, come out wherever you are.
Like in that movie, Where the Wild Things Are or something.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen that, but people have told me I should watch it. It's a good training film?
Yeah, you were talking about that for a while, I think.
Really?
You were talking about that for a different reason, about...
So forgetful.
Child consciousness or something like that? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, this is probably enough of a topic in 5 minutes.
All right. Well, keep me posted.
Okay.
Love to know more about your outfit.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. And thank you, Valerie, for reminding us of our commitment to keep our conversations to 5 minutes and one topic. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Hi.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ramita from South Carolina.
Hey, Ramita.
Hello, Sherry.
Going?
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
I'm doing really well. Practice is going really, really well. That's the message in a nutshell.
May I?
Please.
Practice is going well. I'm doing really well. Those are sort of the same sentence, aren't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I saw something this morning, or it occurred to me this morning, and I just wanted to see if it's really different. You know, we talk about looking at subpersonalities and that and disidentifying. So the question, you know, the traditional Zen questions, who am I or who's here?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow the question came up, it sort of morphed into, instead of who am I, how am I?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I don't want to think about it a whole lot.
No.
But it seems like it might help me look at process more and look at behaviors more and be a little bit easier to avoid sliding into identifying with the subpersonality.
Yes. And so here's my encouragement with that. And with everything that people are looking at. Because when we talk about looking at something, I'm going to sit with it, or I'm going to look at it, or what I'm looking at currently, or what's arising now, it can sound analytical. It can sound like it's something that we're meant to figure out. But really, what we're doing is simply turning our attention to the, in this case, how. Okay, so I turn my attention to how. And in the split second that follows that, there's an opening for insight. And whatever insight is there, I get to see. And if I train myself to leave that to ask the next how, I'm creating moment by moment, and it's actually split second by split second, that same opening for insight and clarity.
So the opportunity then is getting deeper and deeper layers with each of the how, opening up,
yes.
Opening up.
Yes. Because if we get pulled into thinking about it, which is very easy to do because it's so interesting. But if we get pulled into thinking about it very quickly, we're back up into the realm of conditioned mind. And that, the realm of conditioned mind is horizontal looking.
Uh-huh.
It's not,
uh-huh.
It's not vertical looking.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm almost seeing like an elevator going down the shaft. You know, the how lets me go deeper and let new things arise from deeper levels of my being, of this being, rather
yes.
than giving the surface and making connections left and right. And
yes, yes. And the connections are fun and interesting. There's no question about it. I mean, we all love that. It's just that realization that we, yeah, I don't know a clear way to say it. It's all horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it does, you know, here's the next fun piece of it. You can, so with the elevator image, and the elevator is not going up, it's going down, right? So you're starting at ground level and you're going down. So you can go down to the next floor down and do horizontal exploration.
Ooh. Uh-huh, very
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, and so with that insights arising or being in that place, staying in that place where insight lives, then all kinds of things are available, and then our work becomes not allowing conditioned mind to attempt to take ownership of them.
Yes.
Because that's where they die. You see, in
yes.
the realm of insight, everything is alive.
Yes.
With conditioned mind, it's all dead.
Uh-huh. Yes. That's so well describes the experience that I had this morning of not who but how. It sort of came to me. It wasn't
yes.
something, a product of thinking or making these connections. It was like, oh, that's a new question. Huh, where
yes.
is that going to take me?
Yes, and of course, without noodling it, you can also just kind of keep a corner of your eye roaming around there, which is a kind of a disgusting image, but to see where? Where did that come from?
Oh.
So it just dropped in. How did that happen?
Uh-huh. Okay, 22.
Got your assignment?
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much,
Terry. And thank you so much for everything. Thank you, Michael. And good night.
Good night. Thanks, Ramita.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a river of joy.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
How's life
we
in New
are,
Hampshire?
Well, it's really snowy.
I bet it
very,
really is.
Very, very snowy and very, very cold. And that's life in New Hampshire right now. So
soon it will be different.
It will be different. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I have a commitment to call, and it's the same thing, and I know everybody else who has a commitment to call has the same thing every time. You know, I look at my book, and it's like, oh, call. No, you know. All of a sudden, there's 10 other things that are much more important.
Oh,
and
yes.
I just love the practice of, you know, it's like with the recorder, just pick it up. Just do it.
Yes. Just do
call
it.
In. Just stop the conversation.
Yep.
Just do it.
No, just
and
say
I
no
feel
to
like,
noodling.
Yeah, I love that. Just say no to noodling. I love it because that's exactly what it is, because otherwise I'll be back and forth, and then if I don't call, I'll be, oh, I can't believe I didn't call, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All like
and
that,
so,
which you know.
Yep. And so you do it. It's done. That's the end of the discussion. And, of course, as we talk about regularly, the importance of that is that you know you can trust yourself. You know that you can count on yourself. And that's freedom right there.
Yeah. And I love that because what I love is that as I was just going to call, that was in my mind. It was like, well, you know why you're doing this. You're doing this for yourself,
yes.
For that very reason,
yes.
You know, and that is really cool. I don't think I've ever felt that like I feel it now, you know, just getting that.
Yes.
It sounds like it's such an easy thing well, you know, you're doing it for your own freedom and you're doing it so you can trust yourself and, you know, yeah. But then all of a sudden you, like, get it. Oh, I see what that is.
Yes, because in the realm of conditioning, the story is, what people believe is, I'm the one who doesn't want to do it. That's who I
yes.
am. And then there's this other force that says I should, and I'd be a good person if I did, and I'm a bad person if I don't, but who I am is the bad person who doesn't want to. And so not doing it is what's going to take care of me. When that shift happens and you realize it's exactly the opposite of that, I am actually the person who wants to do it. And there is this force that is not me that is trying to get me to believe that I am the bad person who doesn't want to do it. And that's not true. And I, as you say, I am doing this for me.
Yeah.
Night and day.
It is night and day. Yeah, and I was really excited to see that. That was mm-hmm. That's big.
And that's something you want to get right on your recorder and probably explore it with some frequency so that nothing talks you out of that realization. Because for most people, that conversation occupies a huge amount of their day. What I want to do, what I don't want to do, what I should do, the pressure to do what I should do, I really don't want to, feeling bad, I like that, I don't like that. I mean, that's a conditioned mind's life.
Well, yeah, and I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, so as soon as we get that, wow, that whole soap opera has nothing to do with who I am. Wow. Let me start making life choices for me.
That is really cool. And I love Say No to Noodling. I'm like putting that. I'm making
that's a
that
T-shirt,
up.
Isn't it?
That is so perfect. Say No to Noodling. I'm thrilled to get that. I just want to say that I got the email assignment today, and what came up for me was, you know, the question was, what has really helped you, you know, and for what has really helped me, Sherry, is your commitment. It's you being so clear and sure and, like, just and not wavering. Do you know what I'm saying? That has what has really helped me. It's like you just keep going. You feel like to me. Yes, you feel to me like the same force that conditioning tries to come in, but you are just as powerful there with a like no here, and that, and I'm saying it in a really great way that has just kept me okay. Okay, this really doesn't feel all that great all the time, but you know what? She's there pointing the way for me, and I'm going to follow.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that. I've seen that in some responses that come into the email class, where periodically, because, I mean, as you very well know, we started that email class the 1st of November, and we've never been able to get stopped. And
right.
That's kind of what people say is, you know, well, shoot, Sherry, if you're willing to keep doing this, how can I not be? And
exactly.
And that to me, I mean, that's Sangha. There it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why the those Canada geese are such a great visual for Sangha. You know, they get in their little V and start flying, and, you know, when the one in front gets tired, it just slides to the back and gets pulled along by the rest of them, then, you know, and they just keep shifting off like that. Whoever has the strength goes ahead, and everybody else takes a little rest, and then we all know our turn is coming for us to be in that position of taking the stand and saying, yeah, I'm here. I'm showing up. You can count on me.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's how it feels to me. You know, it just trickles down from you. And it's in everything. You know,
everything
that we're doing. Yeah.
I actually thought about that as I listened to Jen tonight. You know, with that thing, you know, if you were on for good news, you know, it didn't happen. And yet the good news that we got was that Jen and Michael immediately just shifted into a conversation about what's here and what's going on and what's possible, and there it is. You know, it's just whoever is there in the moment taking responsibility for representing practice for all of us. And what we're all learning to do is be present in that way, so that when we get the nod, we're there, we're prepared, we're ready. People can count on us because we are who we say we are.
Yeah, I like that so much. I'm going to really look forward to listening back to this in the archives.
Yes.
And so thank you so much, really,
yes,
from the bottom of
Stay
my
warm.
Heart. I'm just so happy. Thank you. I am. We have a wood stove going. That's great.
Oh, life is good.
Thank you. Yeah, it is good.
Thank you.
Good night.
Janet.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Let's hear from them.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Nancy from Driftwood.
Nancy, is it snowing
yes.
in Driftwood?
No, but I do have a wood stove going.
Oh, very good. What's going on?
We wish we'd get snow. Practice has just been so wonderful lately. Every tool, I just had a huge, huge thing trigger me this morning, and I went and sat. It just was overwhelming, and I went and sat, and then I thought, okay, I can map this. And as I mapped it, I saw where I had a chance to change it and did. And I have to admit, even once I made that change, I still felt either the leftover adrenaline. I felt really scared. I just felt scared to make what later when I told a friend, she said, well, of course that was the right thing to say. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And I thought, yeah, but it was so deep inside of me that I didn't have the right to ask for something for myself.
Wonderful
to map it out and see that that was what was going on.
And I love that exchange with your friend and your response to it, because it's wonderful to have people in our lives who can mirror that kind of thing for us, you know, who can say, well, of course. It's good for us to remember that what is troubling to us is troubling to us because it's our karma. Not because there's anything inherently anything about any of it. So
it was karma rather than I just assumed it was a really small, that it was a sub.
Well, it could be. And that can be the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. But the thing about it is that you get into that place, you find the willingness to bring the clarity to it, and when you face that down, the rest of the world might think, it's no big deal. You know, of course that's what you're going to say in those circumstances. But when you're facing down everything that has kept you from being able to face a situation like that, it's huge.
And I think what allowed me to even look at it was, I think today's year-long practice was something along the lines of having faith in my own worth, or I believe that's what I read this morning. Anyway, it just, all the pieces came together, and I looked this horrible, horrible fear in the face. And the wonderful thing is, I wrote calmly back to the person that triggered it, and I got a totally rational response from that person, too. It's like,
yes.
Oh, yeah, of course, you can do it your way.
yeah, and yes. And isn't that a great reward for going through all of that?
Oh,
you know, it's wonderful when it goes that way.
I think even if it hadn't, it wouldn't have mattered, because the fear was so much in me.
Yes.
And that to turn and look at it and face it down and not do what it said.
Yes.
So even had I gotten back a, no way, that's not reasonable, I would have just gone, okay, we disagree.
Yes. And the fear would be gone. Now, the fear might not circle around and try to sneak in the back door again, but in that situation, you know clearly that you did what you needed to do to get present to now, to not to live in an old karmic story or to see life from an old karmic viewpoint. Face the fear, do the thing, and you're living in a new day.
And it really just feels like a tremendous act of standing up for myself, of mentoring myself.
Yes.
Who've done that.
Yes.
So it's a good
thing. And the thing is, part of what the voices want us to believe is you can't do that because of all these, how you will be perceived or how the other person is going to feel or what that means about you. And
just plain wasn't worth it. It had nothing to do with anyone else. I'm not worth it.
Yes.
Well, I take it back. Okay. That was the loudest voice, but there was also terror I felt like I would be struck dead.
Yes.
For saying no to this.
Yeah. And so to go through it and realize that nothing bad happened. In fact, it was a really good thing to do is just stepping into such a place of freedom.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's very good. Congratulations. Practice works.
Thank you so much. And
so
can't wait to see you at the bridge walk.
Okay, good. It's on your calendar, huh?
Well, it's very much on my calendar.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks to both of you.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear some helpful messages here, and then we will be back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion? If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop. stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Megan from Maryland.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, you?
I'm good. I'm calling
What's
to report on? Back.
Good.
But before I do, I just wanted to mention that I'm having so many victories in my life since I started the recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to tell you about one of them.
Please.
When we were having the technical difficulties at the beginning of the call,
uh-huh.
my voices had me convinced that it was my fault, that I
oh,
had
wow.
called in on, somehow the line I called in on had screwed everything up.
Oh, my.
And so my reaction was to hang up. That's, you know, I had to hang up. But I just took one breath and had one pause and, you know, allowed myself to consider maybe that wasn't the case. And so I looked on the internet to see all the directions to make sure I called in right and all that. And so I didn't hang up. I'm feeling good about
good
that.
For you. Good for you. That, you know, I say to people all the time, if you would just stop and listen to that voice and say, really? How do you know that? Who says so? Are you sure? Which is what you did. Without directly asking those questions, you operated out of that.
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah. So it's exactly what Jen was talking about at the beginning of the call, how this recording and listening is helping me actually do all the things I've been trying to do for 15 years. You know, all the books I've read, all the retreats I've been on, all, like, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, you know, all these philosophies that I've sort of been aiming towards, and I just it is a fast track. It feels like right now to just
yes.
making it part of my life.
Yeah, because it is. I've struggled with that for years in practice. In fact, so much of my practice has been trying to bridge the gap between. Yeah, I get it. That's how I need to be. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I see that's what I need to do. How?
Yeah.
How do I do that? Because understanding it doesn't seem to make the difference. Having more and better resolutions doesn't seem to make the difference. So how do we get there? And this does seem to be a really helpful piece of answering that question.
That combined with the voice always telling me I don't actually need the Sangha piece. Like, the other two pieces are enough. And, you know, you'll never find the right Sangha. So, you know, just keep doing it on your own. So that combination.
Yeah, keep doing it on your own with me.
Yes.
I'll be your Sangha. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's something, isn't it? I mean, the amount of energy that force puts into trying to get us alone, you know. I mean, any time somebody creepy with a creepy voice is trying to get us alone, you know this is not a good idea.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So I called 2 months ago and asked about some guidance for staying present in conversations and particularly business meetings and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And you suggested I talk to the mentor and also maybe we'll take baby steps and maybe listen to a recording while I'm in the meetings.
Uh-huh.
And it's been amazing. I look forward to these calls now so I can put my headphones in and, you know, hear these nice reassurances while I'm talking to people. Calls that used to, you know, there was a lot of stress before, there was a lot of stress during, and all of that. And I found one of my favorite parts is it's the same thing about just having the space to ask the question, because one thing that I do when I was on calls is if there was the possibility and I got the information that maybe I'd screwed something up, I just sort of wanted to wrap up the topic as quickly as possible so I could spend the next 3 hours trying to figure out what I'd screwed up.
Yes.
And instead...
That's so perfect. God, can't we all relate to that? Yeah. I have to go out for 3 hours and be totally miserable now. Okay, I've got to go. Yeah.
So when I get a reassurance to, you know, you're okay, relax. Yeah, and even if there's silence at that moment, just knowing that the audio is on, I just take that breath and, you know, we just keep looking at it and work it out. And if I did make the mistake, then we can figure it out in 5 minutes on the phone. And if I didn't, then I didn't. And
yes,
and we just move
and a lot of time you didn't, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, according to the voices, of course, every interaction is a horrible, nightmarish screw-up. And you realize that, no, actually, there aren't that many problems. And when there are, as you say, they're easily worked out in the moment. And, you know, I don't know how much other people would have a sense of this. You know, probably intuitively, there are people who sense a difference in what you're doing. And so that kind of modeling, I think, is just so important. You know, you just calmly stay there and stay with it and work through whatever it is and get to the other side of it. It's wonderful. It's a gift.
And I don't know if it's related at all. I mean, I've been doing a lot of the practices in the last few months, but my boss came to talk to me about a raise for the first time since I started working there, out of the blue. And, you know, I'm not going to – it is what it is, but
Yeah, we're not going to get superstitious, but it's pretty darn cool, isn't it?
It is cool. So it works, and I'm going to look – I kept the earphones in even when I was on a conference call with other people in the room, and nobody said a thing.
Right.
You know, I had one earbud in, and
– Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people will just project whatever. Oh, she forgot to take it out. Or, whatever. Amazing what people don't see. You know, people walk around miserable because they think everybody in the world is watching them and judging them. And actually, almost nobody even knows that we exist. So that's good proof of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, keep on going and keep in touch.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Megan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. That was a fun pick-me-up.
Yeah. Yep. What's that?
Okay.
So much possibility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hey, how are y'all?
What? Good. We're having our best year yet. You?
Yeah, I'm having my best year yet, too.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
I did the workshop in my own little room Sunday morning, the same time I figured y'all were doing it there, and California, just because of the two-chair exercise, I was just able to be Jan and me.
Oh, God, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So you got Jan, our facilitator, in her chair, and
uh-huh.
then you got in the other chair, and she facilitated you through the best year yet process.
That's it, exactly.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That is perfect.
So what I wanted to look at, what you were saying with Ramita about going down another level and then it's still possible to see the horizontal, you know, be stuck in the horizontal view again, is
mm-hmm.
where I think I am. So what's circling around is by karma around eating and sugar. And it's just, you know, it's just huge. Once I really get that, where, you know, karma just does that. It just circles around. It wasn't so freaky to me that, oh, my God, I thought I had put this to bed, and here it is again. You know, so I'm just like, okay, so here it is again.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like, it really feels like a monster that just barges in and dominates my hand and my mouth, you know.
It takes control of your body.
It does. It takes
and begins
control.
Feeding you sugar.
Yeah. And fat, sugar and fat. Those are the two things, you know.
Well, and that would make you an American, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
A diet of sugar and fat. If you add salt, it's complete.
Yeah, well, it's there too, I'm sure. So, I don't know. I don't know really, you know, what to say about that. I just wanted to say that I'm on that level now, and it's just been kind of interesting to see.
Well, so you are on that level, so it's circled around, and you're not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot more to bring to this than you had even the last time it circled
mm-hmm.
around and got you. So I personally enjoy that. I especially, quite honestly, enjoy it afterwards. Okay.
Yeah,
after you get to the other side of this. But actually, even in the process, to realize that, okay, I have a chance to look at this karma again with my new spectacles. And
mm-hmm.
so you're using the recording and listening.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Jan actually talked about was making a date, a la best year yet, with yourself in the evening to kind of review the day that you've had and lay out your plan for tomorrow
mm-hmm.
and to be sure and put, now this is my part of it, but be sure and put in there the reminders that you need about the ways that this karma is going to try to get you and how you need to take aggressive is the word that's coming to me, but that's, you know, that's so un-Buddhist, but a proactive approach to avoiding its pitfalls.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like the old alcoholic thing. You don't want to get, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when people tend to turn to alcohol. Well, people tend to turn to sugar for the same kinds of reasons. So
yeah.
It could be a tremendous opportunity to throw taking care of yourself into high gear.
Yeah, that's really resonating. I love that, the doing the review and then kind of, this is very un-Buddhist too, but arming myself with
yes.
the weapons that I'm going to need for the next day.
Yes.
And one of my guidelines for the best year yet is to be fierce and unyielding with the voices.
Uh-huh.
And that this feels like really going on the offensive.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. And at the same time, taking really good care of the human. So one of my favorite things to consider is that I think sugar is such a big deal in people's lives because people tend to have sweetness withheld.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Either, you know, we learn to do that to ourselves. We learn to do it to each other. So we can tend to get a lot of not sweetness back in
mm-hmm.
relationships. And so
yeah.
To make sure that you're really focused on having a lot of sweetness in your life, having a lot of comfort in your life that doesn't come from foods that are bad for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a practice. It's an experiment. I'm not saying that people should live in bubble baths for the rest of their lives. But to use that kind of approach, it's kind of an Aikido approach to what karmic conditioning is trying to do with you about food.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. That's very perfect. I'm just getting all kinds of things popping in my mind about what that could look like. So
yeah. So the one last thought on it. That it's not the time to make yourself do hard things. And because you know, a lot of hard things that the voices want to convince us we have to do are there for us to do because they're actually not being called forth by life. They're being called forth by conditioning.
Hmm.
Was that convoluted enough, or did you follow
no,
me?
No, let me reflect that, see if I got it. That
often I can feel like I have to do something that's hard, and the reason it's hard is because it's not really being called for by life, but rather just something that conditioning is putting on my list.
Yes. And so avoid every one of those that you can. It's a dual good practice. One, just learning not to respond to that kind of thing when conditioning does it to us, and realizing that, oh, just because the conditioning says it's urgent and is going to be difficult doesn't mean that's the case, and choosing yourself in that way, choosing kindness instead of that pressured, life has to be miserable orientation will give you a lot of extra support for facing down those tempters.
Oh, gosh, Sherry, that is, and I am just grinning from ear to ear, and there's some little part of me that's jumping up and down, just absolutely giddy to hear that, to avoid everything that's hard for a while. I mean,
yes.
That is just the best news.
Yeah, and then once you get really good at it, just continue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I even threw in for a while, because I don't even know if you really said that. But
I think I did, actually. But, you know, it's because it's practice. But once you get to be really well-trained in it, you'll know that it's something that you can pursue for the rest of your life with great joy.
Oh, that's so, so fun. Well, thank you.
You are most welcome.
Talk
to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're at about 3 minutes to the hour.
What do you think?
We could start a conversation, get some ideas going.
Okay. I'm no longer going to say call back next week because I get way too much information that doesn't happen, but we'll do the best we can.
Okay, great. Next and last caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm thrilled to get on. I am following up on, I was at the San Diego workshop a few months ago, and I promised I would call back about doing the love letter to myself, which I did, and I continued to do the recordings. And here's my question, to be brief. I'll skip a lot of other stuff. I was going to say is, how do I know when it's sort of the voice of the mentor? Because, you know, I'll talk and then the voice of the mentor versus sort of conditioning and self-hate, because sometimes I'm not so sure.
Yes, that's such a good question, and I'm really happy to be able to respond to it. You will know by continuing to practice. And so in the beginning, it's true. It's hard to tell, especially because karmic conditioning gets the lingo and, you know, develops some sort of creepy voice that it thinks sounds like censure, and we could be fooled. But as you go along, and a lot of people are telling me that they're really enjoying this practice of just picking up the recorder and talking. So, you know, something's upsetting or difficult or whatever, and instead of writing it all out and figuring it out and then recording something perfect, you just pick up the recorder and start talking and then listen back to it, and the mentoring is sort of there. And then you can record that in the same way. And over time, you will just get clearer and clearer about the subtleties of what a mentor sounds like and what conditioning is trying to fool you with.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm not sure. Sometimes when I listen, a lot of my stuff is around, well, should I do this? Should you know, this or that kind of questions. And when I sort of followed what I thought was the mentor's voice, I realized, okay, that was really a mistake. So.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, even that, that's a good point. Everything that assists us to get clearer is a gift, and everything does when we're paying attention. So even if I do something and go, oh, that was really not a good idea, I've learned so much in the process of going through that I realize, well, actually, it was a good idea. Because I wouldn't have seen all of this. I wouldn't have learned all this if I hadn't gone down that road. So, yeah, you really can't lose in this. Because you're going to get something one way or the other.
So it's all feedback.
Huh?
It's all feedback one way or another.
Yeah,
right.
Well, and it's all our best opportunity to choose compassion no matter what. So, you know, if I did something that was just the stupidest mess up in the history of humanity, it doesn't mean I get a beating. It doesn't mean that I'm unworthy of unconditional love and acceptance. It means that was a really tough lesson.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you. That helps. And also just the idea of just sticking with it until I can hear what's true, what's really true.
Oh, yeah.
Because what I go for is what I want anyway, which doesn't turn out to be the long-term best choice or best thought.
And so, you know, it's like any relationship. If you, you know, you suddenly have a very wise neighbor who likes you a lot and, you know, you talk and this sort of thing, and you think, wow, that's some really wise information. And you're still going to want to, you know, go on a lot of walks together and listen and check it out until you realize that the wisdom that you're receiving because what that person is saying is resonating with the wisdom that already exists within you. Yeah? And so that's what you're tapping into. It's that deepest feeling inside of yourself of, yeah, that feels like the heart, all right.
Yeah, but just, it makes me sad just to hear you talk, so I know that that's true. I can feel that. So. Thank you. I love your work. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Let us know. Keep us posted, huh?
Posted. I'll keep calling. Thanks.
All right. Good. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Another great show, Sherry.
Yeah, it's very fun. Thank you so much, Michael.
Oh, thank you. It's a great pleasure and privilege.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.